Joshua Tucker has spent the past 5.5 years in Chile working on his documentary film, Veins of Resistance. Although much of the movie was recorded during street protests between 2015 and 2018, popular resistance movements continue to grip the country. Protesters from all backgrounds, including students, workers, and indigenous Mapuche, demand an end to the neoliberal reforms that have shaped the post-dictatorship social order. Last Sunday marked 1 year since the start of the most recent round of protests, during which over 30 protesters have been killed by police and thousands more injured. Today, Chileans await the results of a referendum to rewrite the country's Pinochet-era constitution. Joshua Tucker is on the streets of Santiago documenting these protests as they unfold. Thanks for joining me, Josh.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.
So what have you been seeing on the streets?
So, Ethan, as you mentioned, on October 18th, 2019, a popular uprising began in Chile, which Chileans call the Estallido Social, or the Social Explosion. So as I filmed Veins of Resistance from 2015 to 2018, I saw many movements coming together in the streets, and I saw that students fighting for free education not only wanted it for themselves, but wanted it for workers, that it was accessible to union workers, and this merged with demands for an end to the privatized social security system called the AFP in Chile. So we saw these movements come together and their demands become one, as you say, for a change to this neoliberal regime that was imposed in the post-Pinochet dictatorship era. On the 18th last year, the Estallido began. And, you know, as I've previously reported with KBOO, 18 metro stations, 6 Walmarts, and an Italian electric and gas company building all burned that first night. It led to a state of emergency that the president called, suspending some constitutional rights, including the right to assembly. They called the military out on the streets and started using much heavier munitions. And so the police use of firearms on the public, you know, a public that is so traumatized by years of dictatorship, led to this rupture, and the protests continued day and night for months after that.
There is a lot of injustice in Chile. We have to keep fighting. That is all. We haven't achieved anything yet. A year has passed and nothing has been achieved. That's why we have to keep to the streets fighting.
And so what we saw last Sunday, the 18th of October 2020, on the first anniversary of this social uprising, the Estallido Social, was that, you know, it's been reported tens of thousands being in the street, knowing these streets, going to these protests for years. Now it's continuing day in and day out again. Last Sunday, 2 churches were burned, police monuments were destroyed. And there were over 600 arrests in the length of the country, over 300 of which were in Santiago. You know, and this just adds to the more than 20,000 people that faced arrest in the months of the Estallido Social in 2019. So we are very rapidly returning to that state of non-international conflict, as the UN would call it, or a low-grade civil war, where as Sebastian Piñera said when he first called the military out at the streets, you know, he said that we are at war with a powerful enemy who is the Chilean people. And so as Chileans unite in the streets and respond to this oppression, what they're saying is, we're not at war, we're united. Social movements are coming together. They're uniting. You know, where people used to go to a separate march for Social Security and a separate march for free education in between 2015 and 2018, that came together.
After decades of mass protest, Chileans are well practiced at civil resistance, but they're now starting to find solidarity with the country's longest marginalized ethnic community.
Mapuche indigenous communities you know, have been resisting, have never given up armed resistance in over 500 years, and have such faced really horrible repression, as documented by the UN High Commission for Human Rights. And so Mapuche started saying during the Estallido Social, wow, you Chileans, you finally understand. We've been facing this repression for over 500 years, but now you're with us in the streets.
As popular support for the protests has grown, so has the scale of the violence.
With the continued arson attacks, not only the metro stations that burned on the first day, but hundreds of supermarkets were burned in the months after, political party offices, newspaper offices, and churches. You know, my lived experience being in the United States until 2015, I always thought of a church burning as the Klan, as the civil rights movement facing this horrible racist terrorism. In Chile, there's a very different perspective among many, which is that in Chile, the church is still synonymous with the military oppression of colonizers. And so many times churches are targeted. The police responded, the police branch of the Chilean military responded with military-grade weapons. So they used rubber-coated bullets, insisting for months that they were 100% rubber when you can cut them open and pick them up with a magnet. Turned out, forensics came back that they're 80% metals, the largest being lead. So the chemical weapons have also increased since the Estallido Social, the social explosion that began October 18, 2019. So water cannons, you know, police had mixed CS with the water in the water cannons, which causes irritation and burning when the water hits you. And then after the Estallido, there's documented cases of them mixing lye with water in the water cannons. And so what that causes is up to third-degree burns. One individual lost, documented losing 60% of the skin on his body. If you look, I mean, I don't want you to look, but if you do look at these photos, they have quarter-sized bubbles coming up out of people's skin because of this. The protest tactics have also escalated, but in the face of police repression. Right. So as police use more and more weapons, protesters, the front line of the protest changes from a banner to a shield wall. And these are shields made of satellite dishes, corrugated metal, 4x8 sheets of plywood, you know, and of course, street signs. So many people have been hurt. You know, we see figures of 26,000 hospitalizations last year. But I want people to understand that so many people can't afford to go to a hospital, that so many people are treated by street medics, that there are so many valiant bands of street medics out there with stretchers, out there with their own shields, trying to get people to field hospitals. So the amount of violence that people are experiencing has escalated dramatically, as has the unity of social movements and indigenous peoples in the face of it.
In the midst of what can seem like chaos, an impressively well-coordinated nationwide occupation is being led by teenagers.
High school students take over their own school. They usually have assemblies and vote on it first. They take over the school, they barricade the doors, and they live there. They cook for one another, and it's what some might think of as sort of like an Occupy Wall Street type protest camp, because so many days of the week they're out there meeting up with other occupied high schools and taking to the streets. And so we're talking about in 2016, when I was filming for Veins of Resistance, for example, over 200 high schools occupied at the same time over an area more than 2,000 kilometers apart over the length of Chile. So as you say, this is a massive organization being carried out by folks who can't get a driver's license. I think when we consider this phenomenon, I think it's important to remember that the parents of today's high school students lived through the dictatorship here. And so they may have a very different perspective than parents in the United States might have about something like this happening. As the estallido social began in 2019, as we were seeing thousands of people arrested a day in protest, the Piñera regime started making concessions left and right. And, you know, people in the streets were saying, you know, we're not going to stop until there's change in our lives. And so one of the concessions that the Piñera administration made was to call a referendum initially scheduled for April and then delayed till this Sunday, October 25th for COVID, to decide whether or not to call a constitutional convention to rewrite the Chilean constitution.
Estoy acá porque estamos conmemorando un año desde que Chile despertó.
I'm here because we are commemorating 1 year since Chile woke up. It cost us a lot of time for people to realize what is going on, and we have now been able to take to the streets. What's also super important is that we have won a vote on drafting a new constitution and toppling the old constitution from Pinochet. So this Sunday, we're all going to vote, and I hope the yes vote wins so that we can rebuild this country.
The Chilean constitution is tremendously unpopular, in part because it was written behind closed doors during the Pinochet dictatorship by members of the military and notably folks that the came down from the United States. This was a CIA-backed coup. There were a lot of Chicago, University of Chicago economists who came down and helped this massive privatization of Chile, which, you know, we see in the Constitution, including William Buchanan, who actually received the Nobel Prize for it. And so this Constitution has incredibly high quorums, has made itself for to do almost anything, and has made itself incredibly difficult to remove. And so, you know, across these social movements, people see the removal of this Constitution and the implementation of a Constitution that has its roots in a popular process as underlying the massive changes that they are calling for in Chile. Right now, there's two ways you can vote on this referendum. You can vote rechazo, I reject the idea of a new constitution. I want to keep the old constitution. And that side is currently polling around 15%. At their events, notably, you will see Trump flags, Heil Hitler Nazi salutes, all sorts of that kind of paraphernalia. And then there's the apruebo side. I approve. I want to call a constitutional convention, right? And that's polling at about 85%. So once again, you see Chilean people are pretty united on this issue. And then additionally, there's a second question that both rechazo and apruebo voters can vote on, which is that if a constitutional convention were to be called, would it be made up of half members of Congress and half social sector actors who are elected specifically for that purpose, so not career politicians? Or would it be made up 100% of social sector actors without any politicians, right? And so that's the purely convention constitucional, constitutional convention option, which is currently pulling ahead, though the fact that rechazo folks can vote as well on this question makes the outcome of that uncertain. I think Chileans have faith in each other. All that they have accomplished, the unity that they have built in the streets, gives them, they inspire one another tremendously and have tremendous hope. All indications are that this will be a free and fair election. It's good to remember that Augusto Pinochet was removed by a referendum in 1990. So it's an end to privatization, it's an end to this neoliberal regime, and it's representation that is representative of not only the wealthy, but of all Chileans. And now the issue of Mapuche sovereignty coming to the forefront, will there be resolution for 500 years of oppression and targeted genocide against this racial minority?
That was Joshua Tucker in Santiago, Chile,
covering last weekend's protests and the upcoming constitutional referendum. Josh's recent coverage can be found on the YouTube channel Seri Disidentes. English voiceover for this program was provided by Savannah Ray Jones. From KVU News, I'm Ethan Sandlis.